Exodus chapter 3. Another chapter in the life of Moses. And if you look at Moses in this chapter of his life, you see an old man. He's about 80 years old, and from human standards, and some I think even perhaps from his own standards, he would say, I'm a failure. I haven't accomplished much in my life. I'm just passing my time, waiting to die, and I think God's all done with me. He said, there was a time in my life where I had dreams that God was really going to use me. I thought he was going to use me to do something great, but that time has passed. And I'm an old man. I haven't done anything, and I might as well just die. Now, I want to, this is not part of main part of my message this morning, but I want to just slip something in on you, sort of reinforce what was in the Sunday school lesson. I don't care how old you are, young, old, in between, you let God decide when it's your time to go. I mean, as I mentioned in Sunday school, God has not given us the right to make decisions about when life should end. You see, and I mentioned in Sunday school, when man takes on the responsibility that God has reserved for himself, we keep moving the lines. And I'm glad we got a God that doesn't change. I'm glad we got a God that doesn't move the lines. I'm glad we got a God that when in talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it says in the book of Hebrews, he's the same to yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And so it's like, look, when you're playing sports, you don't decide when you play and when you sit on the bench. The coach does. And I would remind you this morning that God's got a game plan for every one of our lives. He knew the day that we were going to be born, and he knows the day that we're going to die. And I know many of us say, well, heaven's a wonderful place. I just can't wait to get there. And I know sometimes when we get to feeling bad, especially when that bad feeling goes on and on and on and on, we sometimes sit down and say, boy, I just wish I could go to heaven today. Let me just ask you something. You ever go someplace that you weren't expected? Or did you ever go someplace that you were expected, but you got there early? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. You know how you feel. You sort of just feel in the way. I mean, many people are still making preparation a few hours before you get there. And if you get there before you're expected, you're just in the way. And you sort of feel it. I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God this morning, our Savior is in heaven making preparation for you. And he doesn't want you there too early. I mean, he's got to get all the fruit in the bowls and the pictures on the walls and all those Butterfinger candy bars in the drawer for me. I don't want to get there too early. I want everything to be ready. And so I don't care what you're going through in your life. Don't care what's going on. It is God who decides when life should end. And the fact that he's got us here on the face of this earth means he's got something for us to do. Let's just find out what it is and get to it. Again, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how bad you feel. If you are here, God has a job for you to do, job for me to do. Let's just find out what it is and get at it. So, back to Moses. If you look at Moses' life, it started off in tragedy. He lived in a place where the king said, the Pharaoh of Egypt said, all the little baby boys have to be killed. When the midwives didn't do it, he went to the Jewish people and said, look, if you have a daughter, she can live, but you have a son, you have to throw him in the river so the crocodiles can eat him. And my soldiers are going to help you do that. When Moses was a little baby, you know the story. His mother hid him in the house for a couple months, and when she couldn't hide him anymore, she made a little ark of bulrushes and put him in the river. And the Egyptian princess found her. The daughter of Pharaoh found him and sort of adopted him. And so he was, at a very young age, separated from his parents. And if we look at that from a human perspective, we would say, boy, that's really bad. That's terrible. That's a tragedy. But I would remind you, just like Teresa did in the song, God knows what he's doing. And he had to get that little baby boy into Pharaoh's court so that he could be trained to be the leader that God wanted him to be. And so for 40 years, he was raised as a grandson of Pharaoh. He was taught to be an Egyptian. He was taught to be a leader. I don't think he was in line to be the next Pharaoh because he wasn't a direct descendant, an adopted descendant. But I think Pharaoh had a plan for him to be a leader in the Egyptian government, in the Egyptian way of life, perhaps in the Egyptian army. He was destined to be a leader. At the age of 40, Moses went back to his own people. And if you read the Bible closely, I think you'll agree with me that Moses thought, hey, I'm going to go back to my people because God wants me to lead my people out of slavery. And that is indeed what God wanted Moses to do, but it wasn't the way that Moses wanted to do it, nor was it the time that Moses was to do it. I mean, Moses thought, well, I'll rally my people and we'll revolt against the Egyptians, we'll beat them in battle, and we'll be free. That wasn't God's plan. It wasn't by a revolt that he was going to free his people. It was by showing his power that he was going to free his people. And this wasn't the time. It was another 40 years before God wanted the Israelites to come out of Egypt. In fact, if you go back and you read a little bit later in the book of Exodus, you'll find it says, and when they were leaving Egypt, that it was at the end of 430 years, just like God promised Jacob was going to happen. And the Bible says, on the very day that the 430th year ended, he brought his people out of Egypt. But that was going to be another 40 years. And any time we decide that we take into our own hands, with our own wisdom, we take into our hands God's plan and God's timing, we mess things up. Let God call the plays. Let God direct you into what he wants you to do in his timing. Moses got ahead of God in timing. Moses didn't do it according to the way God wanted to do, and he ended up committing murder. And he had to flee Egypt. And he went into the backside of the desert. And he ended up leading sheep for 40 years. By the way, I was reading his story again as I was preparing for my message. And as he left Egypt, he went to the land of Midian and he sat by a well. And it was there by that well that he met his wife. And I was thinking to myself, how many men in the Bible met their wife at the well? We know Moses did. We know that Isaac's wife was picked by a servant who met her at the well. We know Jacob met Rebekah at the well. And I was thinking about this, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but I think what the Bible's telling us is that when we look for a wife, we ought to look for a lady who will play the role that God designed her to play. And when we look for a husband, we got to look for a man that plays the part that God designed him to play. Not part of my message. I just thought I'd throw it in for nothing this morning. So, as the Bible says, he meets his wife, Jethro's daughter. And for the next 40 years, he tends sheep. As we find him in Exodus chapter 3, he's 80 years old. And if we were going to assess his life by human standards, here's what we say. Moses, you sure haven't amounted to much. You started out with a lot of potential. You started out to be a great leader. And I think even we could say that God was going to use you. But Moses, you messed up. You messed up. You got ahead of God. And you're just passing your time waiting to die. But I'm so glad that God doesn't judge us by human standards. I'm so glad that God thinks better than we think. I'm so glad that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the Bible says. We see in Moses at this point in his life a washed up failure. And what God sees is a man who's going to accomplish great things for him. God sees a great leader who for 80 years has been in training. for 80 years who's gone to God's school to learn the things that he needs to do what God is going to call him to do. He says, Moses comes to this bush that's burned but is not consumed. He said, Moses, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Back in these days, when you took your shoes off, you were submitting yourself to a higher authority. You were saying, hey, I bow before your authority because your authority is higher than my authority. And we won't take the time to read the rest of the conversation, but what God says to Moses in this conversation at the bush is this: hey, Moses, you're not washed up. You're not a failure. I've had you in school for the past 80 years, and by the way, you've been leading sheep, and you're going to need that when I tell you to lead my people. But Moses, I'm calling you from this point forward to go and do what I've prepared you to do. Come on and take your shoes off, because we got to have a little conversation. Go ahead and take your shoes off, because you're standing on holy ground. And I would submit to you this morning, and you'll understand what I'm saying as I go along in my message, that Moses, for the past 80 years, had been walking on holy ground, and he didn't know it. For the first 80 years of his life, he had been on holy ground, and God was using the ground that he walked on to prepare him to do what he wanted to do. And so this morning, I want to speak on the subject, holy ground. Holy ground. It wasn't ground that was holy because of its geographical location. It wasn't ground that was holy because of where it was. It was holy because what happened there. And I would submit to you this morning that all of us are doing, many of us are doing the same thing that Moses did. We're walking on holy ground and we don't know it. We need to take our shoes off and submit ourselves to the authority of God, because we're on holy ground. There's three things that make ground holy. Number one, holy ground is where men meet God. Holy ground is where men meet God. Here was a bush that burned but was not consumed. Moses turned aside to see it. And the Lord, when he saw that Moses turned aside to see it, said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Now, in my Bible, the word am is italicized, which means the King James interpreters added it to make it clearer in English. If you go back and read it without the am, here's what Moses is saying. When God said, Moses, Moses, here's what Moses says, here, I. And Moses came that day to meet God face to face. Oh yeah, I know later on, and after he'd led the people out of Egypt, when he was going up and down on Mount Sinai, he said, God, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. And God said, nobody can see my face and live. But here in this bush, Moses came and met God. And that's why it was holy ground. Where'd you meet God for the first time? Huh? Think about it in the next moment, would you? Where were you when you met God for the first time? I shared my testimony last week, I think. It was in my pastor's study, down on my knees before a red vinyl couch on a tile floor. I know some of you were in your living rooms. Some of you were back in my office, because I was there the first time you met God. Some of you might have been up here at this altar, the one that existed before. Some of you might have been sitting up here on this front row. Where were you when you first met God? That's holy ground. That's holy ground. Hey, I want to tell you something this morning. You're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're on holy ground, because you can meet Jesus this morning for the very first time in this church, in this auditorium, in the very pew that you're sitting in is holy ground, because you can meet Jesus this morning. You came a sinner. A sinner, because every one of us is a sinner. Some of us are just forgiven. But every single person here that's sitting in this auditorium this morning, including myself, we're sinners. And the Bible says that there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. But I want to tell you the good news this morning. I want to tell you the gospel. Our God loved us so much when we were sinners that He sent His only begotten Son to die in our place on Calvary's tree, not to pay for any sins that He committed, but to pay for my sins and to pay for your sins. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm sure glad He didn't wait till I deserved it. I'm sure glad He didn't wait till you deserved this, because none of us ever would. We never deserved the love that Jesus showed us on Calvary. But when we were in our sin, He died. He paid the price for our sins. And this morning, if you'll just trust Him, if you'll just receive Him, if you'll just say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God and that You died in my place, the Bible says He'll make you part of the family. He won't make you a Baptist. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist, although I think being a Baptist is a pretty good thing. I'm asking you to get into the family of God. Jesus is the only way that you can do that. And I want to tell you this morning, you're setting on holy ground. Because in that very pew that you sit, in this very auditorium, in this church, you can meet Jesus. Holy ground. Let me go a step further. Where do you meet God on an ongoing basis? Where do you read your Bible? Where do you pray? Where do you get alone by yourself and just pour out your heart to God? I want to tell you this morning, that's holy ground. That's holy ground. Maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe it's in your kitchen. I know my grandma Manning, her holy ground was at the kitchen table. Early in the morning, she'd go before grandpa got up. She'd sit at that table and drink coffee and read her Bible and pray. That was holy ground for her. My grandparents on the other side, their holy ground was in the living room. They both had their rocking chairs, at least when I remember. They both had their rocking chairs, and they'd take their Bible and hold them in their lap. One of them would read the Bible. The other one would pray. And they met God. Where do you meet God at? Where do you read your Bible? Where you pray? That's holy ground. Oh, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Submit yourself to the authority of the God whose book you read and who you pray to, because you're standing on holy ground. I like what God said. He said, hey, Moses, come on, get closer. Get closer. Take your shoes off and submit to me. And I'll tell you, folks, that's the way we still do it today. You won't get close to God unless you're willing to take your shoes off. And what I mean by that, you won't get close to God unless you're willing to submit to His authority and say, you're God, and what you say goes. And God has the same desire for each one of us that He had for Moses. He says, I want you to get closer. I want you to get closer. Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Where do you meet God? Number two, holy ground is where God trains us. It's where God trains us. It's where God gets us ready to do those things He's called us to do. As Moses stood before this bush, the last 40 years he'd been tending sheep in the desert. I'm sure some of those times he thought, as man would look back and say the same thing, what a waste of time. A shepherd tending sheep in the desert. But what man would call a waste of time, God would call a master's degree in preparing Moses for what he had to do. You see, in those 40 years, Moses learned that desert. He learned where all the water holes were. He learned where all the shade trees were. He learned where all the sharp rocks were. He knew where the hard ways were and where the easy ways were. He learned what it was to lead sheep. For those of you that don't know much about sheep, let me tell you this morning, they're a dumb animal. They're dumb. I mean, if you don't lead them to grass, they won't eat. If you don't lead them to water, they won't drink. And if you let them, they'll just wander away by themselves and get into all sorts of trouble. Sounds like a bunch like the Jews that Moses was going to lead through the wilderness, doesn't it? Huh? I mean, if Moses didn't keep them close, they'd just sort of wander away and get into all sorts of trouble. And Moses was the one that had to lead them to places to camp and to eat. I want to remind you this morning that any place that God trains you is holy ground. You know Sunday school class is holy ground. You know the junior church back there is holy ground. You know the nursery back there is holy ground. You know any place that God uses to get us ready to do what he's called us to do is holy ground. You know having somebody in your family get sick and have to go into the hospital is holy ground. It's holy ground. You know, when God gives us medical conditions that the doctors can't fix, that's holy ground. And when he gives our loved ones things that they have to endure that nobody can fix, that's holy ground. God is using, and I don't have time to get into a lot of detail, but there are some folks in our church that are going through some really hard times right now. And you know what it is? It's holy ground. Because God is using them, that time of hardship and heartache and trial, to prepare you for what he wants you to do. Now, most of the time, here's what we want to do. We want to run from it. We want to get away from it. We want to say, hey, if I was God for the day, I'd wave my hand and all of this would go away and everybody would be well and everybody would have plenty of money in the bank and there would be no hardships in anybody's life. I wish I could do that sometimes. But God says, if I did that, you wouldn't be what I want you to be and you couldn't do what I want you to do. I got to put you through those hard times because that's what it's going to take. Moses, it's going to take 40 years of keeping sheep in the desert before you're ready to start leading my people. And I know some of you might be saying here this morning, hey, preacher, I'm old. I'm past my prime. What could God want me to do? And I'll tell you this morning, God, the fact that you're here and you're still breathing God's air and you're still walking on God's earth means he ain't done with you yet. And regardless of what you're going through in your life, regardless of the hardship you're going through in your life, regardless of what's going on, you're in holy ground because God is still preparing you to do what he wants you to do. And here's what we do. We want to run away. We want to run away. And what God says, no, 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 no. Come nearer. Get closer. Take your shoes off. Submit yourself to me. I know what I'm doing. You may not understand it, but I know what I'm doing. Just come on, get closer. Get closer. Because as he prepares us, we walk on holy ground. And then number three, real quickly. Holy ground is where men serve God. Moses was going to walk through that same desert, not leading a bunch of sheep, but leading God's people. He was going to lead them through the day and through the night. He was going to lead them through the hard times and through the easy times. But he was going to lead them to where God wanted them to go. He was leading them to the promised land. He was going to lead them. And of course, things changed. He didn't get to lead them in, but that's a different story. But he was leading men to where God wanted them to go. You know, Brother Leonard, when you stand before your Sunday school class, you're on holy ground. When Brian stands before the juniors, the little kids back there, he's on holy ground. When I stand up here, I'm on holy ground. But you know what? When you go to your neighbor and you give him a track and you say, hey, I want to just give you this track. I want you to read it. It tells you about my best friend. Wants to be your best friend too. Do you know something? You're on holy ground. When you go to somebody and say, hey, I'd like you to go to church with me. We got a crazy preacher, but other than that, it's a pretty good church. Would you come with me? You know where you are when you do that? You're on holy ground. When you do what you can do to get people to go where God wants them to go, you are on holy ground. So this morning, I don't want you to do it literally because it's too cold in here, but here's what I want you to do spiritually. I want you to take your shoes off. Because you see, I think God does to us like he did to Moses. He calls out and he says, hey, Ryan! Ryan! You're on holy ground! Come on a little bit closer and take your shoes off. Hey, Bob! Bob! You're on holy ground. Come on a little bit closer and take your shoes off. Hey, Roy! Roy! You're on holy ground. Come on a little bit closer. Take your shoes off. We're on holy ground. We need to take our shoes off. And again, what I mean by that is we need to say, hey, God, I'm submitting myself to your authority. I don't understand. Just like Teresa saying a moment ago, I don't understand every way that he leads us or why he leads us in the way that he does. But I know that he's God, and I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to take my shoes off, and by taking my shoes off, I'm going to say, I don't know nothing. You know everything. I'm weak. You're all powerful. God, you lead me, and I will follow. I'll follow. I'll submit myself to your authority and do what you want me to do. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the first submission that you need to make is to submit to his salvation. There ain't nothing you can do to get right with God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, in just a moment when we stand and sing, I'd like you to be the first one out of your seat, the first one down the aisle, and we'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian here this morning and the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about something, maybe it's about baptism. Maybe there's folks that have been saved and never baptized. You know, that's an act of submission. That's submitting yourself to the authority of God to just come and get baptized. Maybe he's talking to you about joining the church. Maybe he's talking to you about something. I have no idea what it is. But he's talking, and you know he's talking. The direction is clear, and you've sort of been resisting. Why don't you just take your shoes off this morning? Why don't you just submit yourself to God's authority? Why don't you just do what God's instructing you to do? You're on holy ground. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the life of Moses. Thank you for the lessons we can learn from him. Thank you for the